Moltke, at this point, actually suffered a physical and nervous breakdown and was replaced by General Falkenhayn. What ensued was the so-called race to the sea as the Germans attempted to outflank Allied troops to swing around and move on Paris. But that, too, was unsuccessful. The German attempt at an end run, as it were, stalled, and the front bogged down. Virtually the entire British Army of July 1914 had been lost in the process. The initial troops sent across the Channel had been already annihilated in this process. In the east, the Russians, as we saw, invaded East Prussia. The German commander in the east was replaced by General Paul von Hindenburg, brought out of retirement to command the armies in the east. In the Battle of Tannenberg in September of 1914, Hindenburg halted the Russian offensive, inflicted a decisive defeat on the Russians, and became in the process the first war hero in Germany, capturing 92,000 Russians and halting the threat to Germany proper. What quickly emerged in these early days of the war in 1914 was that for all of the Austro-German alliance, which had existed since 1879, there were absolutely no military plans in common. They had not coordinated their military responses. And in the First Battle of Limberg in late August, Austria lost 300,000 men in dead, wounded, and missing. By the end of the summer of 1914 and throughout the fall, the armies slogged away at one another with an incredible ferocity. By Christmas of 1914, the war was not only not over, but there was no end in sight. On the Western Front, the trench warfare, which would characterize combat in the West, had already established itself by the end of the year. In fact, in that first Christmas, there was actually the soldiers yelled back and forth across no man's land, and small parties went out and greeted one another for a Christmas truce, with reports of a soccer game going on between German and Allied troops. Commanders, on hearing about this, certainly closed off that as an option later on. There would be none of this kind of fraternization. In 1915, the war widened. Italy would enter the war not with its titular allies, Austria and Germany, but on the side of the Entente powers. Italy had goals in northern Africa, which they believed that the French could help them with more than Austria. And so Italy would go to war with the Entente powers against the Habsburgs and immediately suffered a series of setbacks as Austria employed Croatian troops to fight against the Italians, who they hated the Italians almost as much as they hated the Austrians. Austrian troops then became tied up in the south fighting on an Italian front. In 1915, Bulgaria and Turkey entered the war on the side of the so-called Central Powers, Austria and Germany. I think this reflects at this point the sense that momentum lay with Germany in 1915. Certainly Bulgaria and Turkey had scores to settle with Serbia and the other South Slav states. Austrian troops would occupy Serbia, Montenegro, and Albania, but the war bogged down in Macedonia when English and French troops were dispatched to Greece. By the turn of the year, 1915 into 1916, the grim realities of trench warfare had begun to sink in. The war of movement, particularly in the West, was over. Henceforth, the war would be measured by a few miles, yards, sometimes even feet. There would be no great advance. Still, for the military men of the period, so much of the thinking during the war was to find a vulnerable spot in the enemy line, to hammer away at it with heavy artillery and so on, and then to smash through this vulnerable spot, puncturing the enemy line, rolling it back, and this would lead to, quote, quick victory. Certainly General Falkenhayn, the German high commander, believed that a major offensive in the West had to be launched to break the stalemate.